Aloha, Zosha. Are you with me, girl?
I'm with you. I'm present with you. I am somewhere. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I was listening to a little bit of music before the show started and just getting my groove. How are you?
Yeah, I was doing the same as you, getting into the mood. I'm not in my normal place. So actually, it's a little echoey maybe in this room. I hope it sounds okay. I am in Texas. I'm calling it actually not far from you all, BBS, about, I don't know, a few hours south. So I'm in Corpus Christi. Isn't that interesting?
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, and interesting. I wasn't going to weave this in first, but there is just a power outage from last evening until just this afternoon. So I missed all the shows. Heard Q's repeats. Did I? I did. But anyway, back in power. So it's good. I was like, what are we going to do? Corpus Christi, BBS. Yeah, south. Almost close to the border of Mexico.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. So I just threw that in there right away. How are you doing? It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's so nice to be with you as always. And I'm good. I'm good. You know they say I remember as a kid, like the Where's Waldo book, you know, with Waldo and like the striped turtleneck, you know.
I know where you're going.
Well, speaking of Waldo, I mean, where's Q? Like, everyone wants to know where Q-ster is.
You, where are you? In case you're around Q, we would love to have you on the show. Just in case, you know, it's nice to put it out in the universe, right, Lauren? We miss
That's
you.
Right.
We all miss you. Yeah. What are you feeling about it? What are you feeling into anything? What is he doing? Relaxing in the sun?
Working.
What are you feeling?
I feel like, you know, that'd be a great thing to talk about on the show, just to go into, you know, what we feel are unique perspectives on what could be happening, observations of you know, him not being here with us. You know, they're always with us. He's with us right now. I mean, right. But just, you know, how we're feeling, how everyone's feeling, I felt like that'd be a great conversation to have on the show. And how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree as well. Because, of course, we're all, you know, those of us so devoted to him and have been listening to him for such a long time on our Saturdays. It's a perfect topic to talk about. I was wondering, though, just to feel fun about it, I was like, maybe they're building a brick and mortar Cheeks.
Ooh!
I was like, because that would be a fun project. He did say it was on the book, so I'm like, oh, maybe they're setting it up for us.
Ooh,
we'll have to one day.
Oh, I like that, Zosha. I like that. Yeah, I want to ask him. You know, what's I want an update. I want an update on Cheeks.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. But I love that you're bringing it up, how we're feeling, because I can almost feel it in your voice as well. I just want to say he did promise he'd be with us until 2150, just in case you forgot. He didn't say how he'd be with us, but he did say he'd be with us.
That's right. We're gonna hold you to that, Q.
How are you feeling, Lil? How are you feeling?
Well, feeling good. Of course, excited to do the show. And it's interesting, Zosha, because I didn't, you know, in the previous shows, you know, usually both of us were feeling into, I felt really strongly about this topic, you know, to talk about this week. And then, you know, and actually we both were synchronistically, we both were. And then it's like divine inspiration, we're guided, and then bam, we talk about it. Well, this time, yeah, you know, it's been kind of like, I don't know, just kind of in the flow and nothing really coming to me. Except for wanting to circle back around to a couple topics that I wanted to talk to Q about. But
you could talk to me about it.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. But so you are in Texas now. So I will say for this week, I had two pretty cool things happen. So I synchronistically, I was on a walk last Saturday, and I love the song Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by the Starship Band. It's Jefferson Starship.
That's right.
I love that song. I've always loved that song. And so I was looking down at my phone and, oh, they're in town. They're going to be in town to do a concert at a local events venue. And so I was like, I'm going to go. So I went last Sunday evening and it was really cool. There was, so just to give a little background, the band formed in 1965 in San Francisco, and it was originally Jefferson Airplane. And one of the singers, Grace Slick, you know, I didn't know this, you know, I was just going forward, nothing's going to stop us now. So I go back and I'm looking up the history on this, and there's no coincidence why I'm going to this concert. So I look up, you know, the information on them and the history, and I'm sitting there in the concert, and there is an older gentleman. He's not lead guitar, but he's doing bass and he's singing. And I was wondering, I'm like, gosh, he's got to be in like his 70s. And that's not old, but you know, just for reference, like that's young. Like that's, I don't even care about age and numbers anymore, but I'm looking at him and I'm like, damn, this guy is rocking it. He's singing, he's playing the guitar. It turns out, Zosia, that this gentleman was of the original Jefferson Airplane Band, one of the original guitarists, 86 years old. He's out there singing and playing the guitar. And I'm just like, wow, it was really cool. It was really cool. And actually the original drummer, his first gig was Fooled Around and Fell in Love. That was the first song that he was in, is playing drums, which I love that song. So anyways, that was cool watching that. And then the second thing that happened was I decided to take a day trip to DC. I'm about 112 miles from DC. And it was just inspiration. I was having coffee one morning and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go. So I drove up there and I will say the energy there, I guess I could say I was Nancy Drew in it. I was like, all right, let's just go up there and see what's going on. Let's do it. Let's just check it out. The energy was lighter. It didn't feel as heavy, but I mean, there were, you know, a lot of people out walking, touring, you know, a lot of schools doing field trips. I did walk past the Department of Justice and there was a security guard out in the front and he spoke to me and he's like, hi, how are you? Know, just talking to me. And I was like, oh, what building is this? And he was like, oh, this is the Department of Justice. I'm like, ah, how's it going in there? I'm sure y'all are pretty busy. How's it going? And he just smiled. But it was, you know, it was interesting just knowing, going and knowing what we all know and what's going on in the world, and particularly in DC, with Q Trump, the team. It was just really interesting just to go up there and check it out, be boots on the ground, so to speak.
You saw it for yourself. You felt it for yourself. So did you feel positive about it? Did you just feel, you said it's lighter, so that is positive, the lights all around us.
Yeah.
And that was it? Just quiet?
You know, I saw a couple, I went and saw the monument, the Washington Monument. I saw the White House, which just FYI, it doesn't, you know, when you see it on TV, it looks very different. But when you see it in person, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's not as, it just seems smaller. You see it in person. Yeah, it is. Right?
Yeah.
You're right. But yeah, just nothing other than just, I love to observe. I'm a people watcher. So I love to observe and, you know, obviously meet people here and there along the way, but yeah, just lighter and, That was it. There was nothing else that really stuck out to me when I was there.
Fun.
Yeah. I wasn't able to get close up to the Capitol just because I took a picture of it and sent it to a friend, but I saw it from afar. I couldn't tell if there was any fencing around it, but I did see the Lincoln Memorial. I think it's the Lincoln Memorial. But it was a gorgeous day, you know, gorgeous weather. And then I, on the way back, I was going to stop and eat at, Old Ebbitt Grill, which is, like a fan favorite in DC, but they didn't have any tables. So I stopped in Old Town Alexandria on the way home and had a nice little dinner there at a restaurant called The Wharf. So it was a nice day.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Right?
It was.
Well, when I would just add a little piece, thank you for sharing that. It's nice to get a little update, especially being away. I won't go into details, but I got to witness an angel receive wings this weekend. Mm. So it was very exciting and very special. And I wanted to, though, weave back into Lauren, where we just to talk about the side effects of no cue. Is that okay?
Let's do it.
I just took a couple notes. So Promise 2150, we also talked about a vacation where we would all meet. So we just share this because we talked about probably if we're feeling, you know, we miss him, but we know there's so many spinning plates and multiple facets to everything going on. So what else is a side effect to me that came to, we get to develop our knowing muscle. You know, I noticed even myself, sometimes if I'd ask you a question, he's like, you know this. I said, I know it. It's just nice when you validate it. But at a certain point, right, I would feel as a parent myself, you want to strengthen your children to just know themselves and not have to even ask those questions for validation. So that came to me. It's like, oh, that's beautiful. Side effect is, for me at least, I get to develop my knowing muscle more. And Q also said in one of the earlier shows, one of the repeats, that we are graduating. We're going to the next level and figuring ourselves out. So I feel we get the opportunity to do that when he's not here. Absence makes the heart grow stronger in a sense and makes us rely on ourselves to eliminate any savior possibilities. Another side effect I felt was we all get to collaborate more. So many of us talk about collaboration centers. And Q has mentioned the radio is a collaboration center. It's why he stopped one-on-ones, because we all get to share it publicly. So now, again, the beauty of no coincidence that the radio shows are growing. Our family's growing. I feel we're up to 9 or 10 shows other than Q's. Mm-hmm. So we all get to express and strengthen ourselves in how we communicate with others. And also a reminder that he said everything is very, very well planned. Even when he spoke, it was strategic. A while back, he said that. So when I reflect on those pieces, it makes me feel good. And he's here, like we started with the show. He's always around mermaids. Of course, they are here to help us through ascension. But Lauren, I wanted to remind you, I felt you said something pretty, pretty brilliant. I felt that connects into what did resonate with the both of us, which is the number three. The number three keeps weaving in and out of our lives. I even asked a question. The last question I asked him was about Egypt, and three comes in threes, EBE and Errol. They came to three locations, Yeshua and Mary. They, as talked on Q shows, they were in three separate locations. So it's number three, the number three, Nikola Tesla, the number three. This is the third show that Q missed. Interesting with the number three. So we'll talk about the number three in a little bit. But Lauren, do you remember you discussed about how you were feeling? You used the word, I don't want to say it, and you connected it to Jesus and when he rose again. Do you remember it? You want me to use the word? You were feeling lost. I'll just say it. Lost.
Oh, yeah.
You were feeling lost with Q not around. But it was a brilliant connection, and it is sort of the subtlety sometimes how things come to, I feel it's important for many reasons, but the subtlety of how perhaps we get our knowing, it's not always this, I don't know, firework moment. Sometimes for me, it's so subtle. And when you expressed it, it just came up just an hour ago for you. And for me, it felt significant. So do you remember?
Are we talking about, okay, so
the just stone.
Oh, yes. Okay. So beautiful. Okay. I'm going to come up with a different word. So we're not going to do it. I'm not going to do exactly. And I'm not going to do that's beautiful. I'm going to just come up with a different word. That's brilliant. Right. Cause I'm like, I say this a lot on the radio. So, and it's fine.
We're unprofessionals. So we're just being ourselves. I get what you're saying though.
Exquisitely unprofessional. I love that word, exquisite.
That's beautiful.
It's right. Okay. All right. So the threes, let's do some parallels with the threes. Okay. So thank you for teeing this up. It's brilliant. Okay. So we have the first weekend. Q, you know, he stopped doing the shows. It was Easter weekend, right? It was the first weekend was the Easter weekend. Correct?
Another coincidence.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Again, or synchronicity, right? Another synchronicity. It was Easter weekend. He missed his, he opted to do whatever. We don't want to say missed. He perfectly just wasn't with us as we're used to it.
That's right. That's right. So there we got number one. Now, number two, the second weekend was the quote funeral ceremony for the Pope that, you know, really died. He was executed 2 years ago, according to For the People post. Okay. So that's the second. That's the second weekend. And then we have this weekend is the third weekend. We got power outages over in Europe. We got you've experienced some power outages.
In Corpus Christi, what does that name mean? The body of Christ.
There you go.
Fascinating.
Ooh, Tosha. Okay, that's the first time. That's good. Damn, that's good. Okay. this is how we talk on the phone. That's good, girl. That's good. I love it. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Then something else came to me. So in the Bible, and I'm not, you know, the theology police, please don't come after me because, you know, don't quote me. I'm just going by just a recollection of what I remember. In the Bible, you know, you have Jesus was crucified. And then the 3 days, you know, he rose again, resurrected. Then you look up, what does resurrection mean? Right? What does the word resurrection mean? To rise again, revitalization, revival. So, Zosha, if we go back to when Jesus, the body of Jesus, had the 12 source energies within, right? All of it, all of them, all the 12 source energies were within the vessel of Jesus, Yeshua. Okay. But then if we are the 1,000 Jesuses, this time they fractaled us all. They fractaled everyone out into the 12 source energies out, right? Into the 1,000 Jesuses. I believe Asha, correct me if I'm wrong, Zosha. Asha spoke on that, said that. So
you as well.
And Q. So the resurrection is not, it's not just of, since we're all spread out, right? It's all of us. It's the resurrection. It's the rising of all of us, the resurrection of all of us, which I thought was really cool. And actually, a girlfriend, I can't, you know, take credit for that because that was brought to my attention by an Arizona angel, just on her feelings into it. But when I heard it, I was like, oh, God, that's so good. And then when they did the you know, he's in the tomb. The stone is, you know, the stone is moved. And who goes, who's there first? The Marys.
Yeah.
Right? The Marys. Mm-hmm. Before I get there, Zosha, anything that you want to go there? Anything you want to add to that?
No, I was waiting for you to get to that point. Go for it.
Okay. Okay. So then we have, you know, the Marys that show up. And I just find this fascinating because how this all works, what we've learned, what Q and Mermaid have taught us. There's something about the Marys, something about Mary and the three, the Isis, Mary, and Sophia. I've been reading a book by Rudolf Steiner. I just like saying it like that. Rudolf Steiner. And it's called Isis, Mary, Sophia, and their mission and how it all relates. So I just find that very interesting.
May I say something? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, please do. Go ahead.
Just to tell the audience why this is interesting to us, this is our first interview with Q. We spoke about Mary and it was really a great conversation. And we started to connect the dots and Mermaid, as everyone knows, that's Mermaid and our connection with Mermaid. So we have a personal interest in it. So it's just, we're just sharing how we experience the dots come through us. If this also awakens anything for anyone else. So it just keeps coming to us, this topics, these names. And I see it myself as this, what awoken in me as you're speaking is a layer cake of the different timelines, how it's essentially for me the same essence coming through the different timelines, and it's like a layer cake of Isis and then Egypt. I can't even go in order of the dates, it's kind of a blend, but how Mary, it's not just Mary, it's the same lineage for me, how I feel it. It's the same, almost like if you have the different layers, you can poke your finger through the different layers and touch Mary through all the different timelines. So that's how it comes to me. So Lauren and I are putting the pieces together, and that all speak for me as well. But I have knowings of myself in many ways, but I don't have the crystallization sometimes of how it all pieces together. Other people have see things. I feel and know things, and I get the breadcrumbs. So it's just my way of how I put it together, and how you're explaining it with Isis as well. And I feel you have something to read about that as well. I have something as well to share. You want to go ahead?
Zosha, remind me, what did I?
Oh, I felt maybe, sorry, go to the mic, Lauren. I didn't, that was quiet.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Perfect.
Remind me again.
Oh, no, I felt you had something to read about Isis, but do you want me to read mine first?
Yeah, read your, I'm sure
I do. And then maybe
do.
It'll
Let me...
poke on something for you. Maybe yeah. You didn't. Maybe you just shared it. We were connecting the dots through when we were speaking about dolphins as well. So let me read my piece and see, because what I found interesting about it, and I was going to share this with Q a few weeks ago, some aspects of it, but I decided maybe I'll read a little bit more now. It's like 5 paragraphs. I'm only going to read 4. But again, I'll just read it because I find it really fascinating, and I don't even know who wrote it. I can share the link, I don't know, maybe on the show, or just reference it at the end and see if anyone feels anything into it. So how do you feel about that, Lauren?
But I love it. Let's do it.
Okay, so this person writes on her page, it's about Mary Magdalene. And again, back, we've had many conversations about Mary Magdalene with Q and mermaids. So this person writes, I see the Magdalenes as being priestesses within the divine feminine initiation stream, a sacred circle of souls with roots in the Essene, daughters of Isis, Avalon, and Celtic feminine mystery teachings. Now, a lot of those things stand out to me, like the initiation, how it's passed through, I'll just say the different layers. Isis has mentioned the Celtic. Remember, we discussed the Selkies and whatnot, and the feminine mystery teachings. Okay, the second paragraph. The third paragraph. So yet, Mary Magdalene was an initiate from the Temple of Isis, where she was taught by Mother Mary. The priestesses of this ancient Temple of Isis are universal. The same goddess teachings were anchored in by priestesses of ancient cultures all over the world, and we have all been reborn, like you said, resurrection, reborn to today's times. Again, this is someone writing it and not saying it's truth or fact. We all feel it for ourselves. So the fourth paragraph, as we celebrate here in this lineage that Mary Magdalene was most assuredly an Egyptian priestess from the Temple of Isis. Mary is an Egyptian Isis title from Mer, M-E-R. And in parentheses, it says water. C, the key symbol of the priestess, meaning priestess. The letter M is the 13th letter of the alphabet, is indeed the symbol of water in Egyptian hieroglyphs. Mother Mary was a priestess of the Rose line and the teacher of the Mary Magdalene in a circle of 12, with Mother Mary as the 13th. Interesting. Hieroglyphs. Q spoke to us about hieroglyphs. We always speak about the Mare people. I never heard this about Mary, so it's really fascinating to me. And then the last paragraph, it says, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene were from the same temples, related and married, practiced sacred sexuality. And this says they conceived children. Mary Magdalene and Yeshua together formed the way of love as a sacred couple in divine relationship, bringing in Christ Sophia, consciousness and light. The way of the rose, which was also called the Order of Magdala, is the female spiritual path of the way that holds the sacred light codes of the divine feminine and the teachings from the Isis temples. I'm almost done. They were aware that the day would come when the initiated priestess from these ancient lineages who hold these codes would reawaken and once again anchor this light into the matrix of humanity. The time is now. So I just find it fascinating that you mentioned the resurrection of our Arizona sister, who mentioned that. The lineage, that's what I keep feeling, this lineage as what comes to me, and I've shared this as well, is the feeling of a huge connection to France, connection to Scotland, connection to my land, connection to, it's just, you know what I mean? We feel like we're just it's all awakening. It's coming, we're remembering this lineage. And like, I love that she said it's for all of us. And mentioning the mare people. I mean, maybe that's, I should have so asked if good. Anything came to you at any point. Did anything stand out? I could read it again, or I never shared this with Lauren, by the way, because I forgot I had it, because however that show went, we never used the notes. So I find it interesting that that's the one I grabbed and brought with me to Texas. So.
Oh, that's so good, Zosia. That is so good. And wow. I mean,
there's so many pieces woven in there. That feels like an intricately woven blanket.
It does. It does. And the connection with the myrrh and the Mary and the Egyptian hieroglyphs and the water. Oh my gosh. That is so good.
And we know our mare connection. Even speaking with Q, he said that should awaken memories in you. And we were speaking about that, I feel, on our first show. So it's, I'm always beautifully surprised. It's like, the picture keeps growing and awakening, and the knowings come in. Back to, if Q was here with us, we wouldn't be doing it this way. We would be asking Q questions, but maybe the pause that Q's taking is so we can just thresh this out on the radio. Who knows? Is that another side effect? So the word initiate had kept coming to me, initiating. And Mother Mary initiated Mary Magdalene. If this is all true, in a circle of 12, the rose line. I mean, there's so many personal things in here. I came through a self-realization group, but it was connected through eventually the Carmelites. The Carmelites are the extension of the Essenes. I mean, you just can't write this. I wonder if everyone else out there is finding such, I'll use the word they use, coding in your own life to tell you your history.
Wow.
Tell you, that's what I'm feeling. It actually feels very powerful inside to tell us our history. The signs out there when you feel, and it's such quiet. And you know, I know you're getting these as well in different ways. Again, it's always funny what you bring up, because it always connects with some, like the word resurrection and how you just shared that. There's so much in this.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, we could do a whole show on that.
Yeah, we could do a year talking about all of this, right? I mean, we're in a speculative position in a sense, but I kept coming to this as you did. So to me, there's knowing in that, and that's the faith I rely on in a sense to go with it. And we get to chat with each other and like, all right, let's go in this direction and see. And just knowing there's someone else out there, this we could be sharing this for, as well as for ourselves. But again, it's the feminine, how on our first show with them, it's always the denigration of the feminine, and the feminine is rising. The feminine, more females are showing up. Why? We're taking back our lineage that has been suppressed. This is our lineage. We're rising in ourselves and hoping and knowing the men are as well, but we seem to be first here. And this coming through, I'll stop talking a minute.
No, I love it.
Is what stood out. What also stood out is it's the way of love, and they talked about the divine couple relationship, and the Sophia. Did you want to talk about Sophia?
Oh yeah,
it's up to you or whatever you got, Lauren.
Yeah. So this book by Rudolf Steiner, it says, I'm just quoting an excerpt from the book. It says that Sophia is simultaneously the mother, daughter, and bride of God. Three. There we go with three again. And I'm like, what is the Sophia? And so I looked up, you know, in Gnosticism, Sophia is often portrayed as the feminine figure representing wisdom, the Holy Spirit or the Bride of Christ. And so I'm like, huh, I keep hearing, what is the Isis, Sophia, and Mary? And it's like you said, this lineage, right?
Like the layer cake.
Like the layer cake. Yes. Yes. Did you see our little note?
Yeah. Should we keep chatting for a while and just get out our pieces? Because I have perfect. A couple more pieces to add, and then maybe other pieces will come up. With the Sophia, Sophia means wisdom.
That's right.
And I also have made a note that for me, the Sophia is bringing, what's interesting, it's bringing the wisdom back into matter. It's coming, the wisdom is coming through us, the divine feminine. It's coming back to us. We're growing our light here in matter. We're good outside of here, but here we're bringing it back.
Oh, that's so good, Zosha. That's so good.
And do you remember when Q said the light is all around us, like a womb? I feel he used that word, like a womb. And that's the feminine. It's the womb. Sophia, or the word, or the feminine, we're the creators. And that womb allows, okay, let me say it this way. That light, it's just coming to me. The light all around us is like the womb that we're in. And within the womb, we can create. Creation can happen. So do you feel, I just have chills, like,
what's
happening here? It's, I don't know, I just keep knowing it more. What were you going to say?
You just expressed it. You just expressed it so beautifully. Perfection.
Thank you, Lauren. It just moved through me. I couldn't even take credit for it, but it's profound. It just to see it in another way, this moment in time, this no time, this moment in space that we're at. And
I know what you just shared, what you've been sharing, Zosha, is going to awaken and activate the listeners, the audience, whoever's listening. It's just, I know it. I just know it. It's like I can see, you do a really good job of expressing it, verbalizing it, whereas I can see it in images, but I have a little bit more difficulty expressing it and verbalizing it. So, and it works out great because, you know, it just works out fantastic because
we entwine together.
But
Q
right.
spoke to that about, actually, I'm just see if my notes, Q spoke to that earlier, okay, here's something that he said that just speaks to exactly what you're saying, Lauren, which is why it's perfect. We cover a broader bandwidth, perhaps having our nature slightly different. He said, you're knowing to sort the knowledge. Q has already shared, maybe we banter about it, is what I wrote. And he also said, we can know the information, but we're knowing how to translate it, which is to me what exactly you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me throw in the other pieces because I wonder, well, let me ask, do you have more from Rudolf Steiner?
No, there's a lot more, but no, we're good. We're good. I got the book because I wanted to know, I just wanted to know how they, cause I know they all relate. Like, I mean, it's like, it's right there, you know?
Well, here's, maybe this will jog something too, because you touched on this on one of our other calls with the dolphin. Let me just read my other notes that I wrote. Isis, it was around, if I have it right, it was around 1550 BC lineage. And a noted mother, sister, wife, it's the same. It's that she's just like the Mary, but she's nursing her child, Horus. And the notes also written about her, she's a nurturer, right? Breastfeeding, that was known, the mother to be nurturing. I also wrote sailors, because now I remember talking about it, that she was somehow connected with the sailors, back to the myrrh in the other article. I also wrote winged Isis. So she has wings. There's that Egyptian picture of her with the two wings coming to the side. Now, both you and I, if I can share that, I'll share mine. One of the hieroglyphs that came to me was the bird. And
oh,
I just gazed at it. Right? Sound familiar?
You, You can share. You can share that.
A bird came to you as well. It's mm-hmm. just I gazed at it gently, and I had three. I shared it on the PRQ, and one was a winged bird. It also says the sun, which we probably know that. Also says Taurus. That happens to be my sign in the matrix. Here's another interesting piece, because I just mentioned Scotland. Now I need validation on this. I don't know this yet, but there's also a connection to Ilona, Scotland, which I feel, forgive me, I don't have the notes of my research on this. Fascinating. Scotland again. I looked up Ilona. What's there? I feel Findhorn is there. That was discussed on our sister show.
Wow.
About Findhorn, but there's a connection of the Carmelites in that area. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the last note I have, Lauren, is Mexico, Chichen Itza, which I know you looked into, the feathered serpent in Eve's book. She has a cover of the feathered, on the cover of the book is a feathered serpent. And what's on Chichen Itza? Again, the feathers.
Oh, I'm going to share. I got it right here, girl.
You go, girl, because you're up.
I am so excited to share about connecting the dots with Mexico and Egypt.
Yes.
Do you mind if I share it really quick?
Teed you up, girl.
Oh, my God. So if you look at the book, the wisdom, E. Featherstone's Wisdom of the Feathered Serpent, and you look, like, there's no coincidence what's on that cover, right? So there's the Mayan symbolism on that right outer thigh, right, of the bird.
Yeah.
Then there's the feathered serpent, the wings, the feather, the feathered serpent wings on the arms. And then you have this starburst behind her head. And so I'm looking up, you know, Chichen Itza and the feathered serpent. And if you go to Chichen Itza in Mexico, the temple, it's El Castillo. If you visit it during the spring and fall equinox, you can see the shadow of the Mayan feathered snake descending the steps of the pyramid of Kukulcan. And it's a representation of the snake descending from the sky, a clear representation of Kukulcan's role as a bridge between the heavens and the earth. So literally when you go, and people from all over the world go, and I've seen it, if you go on YouTube, you look it up, you got this pyramid here, and you got the way that the sun comes in and how it hits, and then it looks like, I don't know how to describe it, but at the bottom, there's the feathered serpent. And so it looks like the snake, the feathered serpent, coming all the way from the heavens down to the earth. What is a snake shedding its skin? Rebirth, death, rebirth, right?
Yeah.
So the feathered serpent embodies the eternal cycle of death and rebirth, making it one of the most powerful symbols in Mayan mythology, much like the serpent shedding its skin, death and rebirth. So if you look this up, Kukulcan to the Mayan civilization and Quetzalcoatl to the Aztecs, this deity symbolizes both divine and earthly forces, blending the strength of the serpent with the beauty and the majesty of the bird. So if you look at that bird on that right outer thigh, you'll see the bird. No coincidence. I was studying and researching Egyptian hieroglyphs and the Mayan, not so much the Aztec, but the Mayan symbols and what they mean. So you have the book cover. We have Eve on the front with the wing-like feathers. I wrote this down. On her arms, and the serpent surrounding her body with the Mayan symbol of the bird on her right outer thigh. The image surrounding her head looks like a starburst of light, much like the convergence of the sun and how it shines out from an opening on the pyramid of Kukulcan. And then you have on the back of Eve's book, it shows an image of the Vesica Pisces. If you research Stuart Swerdlow's book on sexuality, he gives images or archetypes. One in particular is one of the breasts, the two circles at the bottom with the dot in the middle like a breast and the nipple. So when you connect that to the image of Isis with a baby at her breast, the breast symbolizing empowerment, nurturing of the heart and emotions. So it's fascinating, Zosha. And just to tag on to that, because I know I just like vomited up all this.
No, it's perfect. Keep going.
The bird, the falcon. Now, this is this book that I got. It could be wrong, but this is what they said. It's Horus, the son of Osiris and Isis. That's what the falcon represents. Horus is typically depicted as a falcon or a man with a falcon head, often wearing the double crown of Upper and Lower Egypt. Anything come to you? That's a lot. I know. That's
No, it's great. It's great. What stood out to me is I'm pretty sure it's called, forgive me, I don't have my, because I'm away, I don't have my notebook, but I'm pretty sure the golden article on forthepeople.space refers to more about that with Isis and Horus. And I say that to, that's my source of truth, because when we go online, it's always, you know, I don't know how to take it because the light and the dark.
I have it right in front of me. Oh. I have it. Do you want me to read it real quick?
Yeah, actually, I've just pulled something out. Go for it. I found it too. Go for it.
Oh, go ahead. If I can do it, or
tell me if this is what I was looking for. Egypt also has their own green man. They were talking about the green man. Osiris's alternate name was the green man for reasons you will discover below. As the story goes, Osiris was killed by Set and chopped into 13 pieces. Isis collected all his pieces, less the missing phallus, to bring him back to life. The key to this miracle was the new phallus she sculpted out of gold. Isis then added her lightning love, see the love again, to the mix, and Osiris reintegrated to reveal the newly awakened Osiris, now named Horus. Horus is, in fact, Osiris reinvented with greater light to remove darkness from the earth by defeating Set, which he accomplishes in spades. Yay.
So good. And then, so that goes back to, you know, the common theme with where am I going with this? With the Marys, it's like this lineage, right?
Yeah. The threes again, the threes weave through everything. And again, Tesla, I haven't heard Q speak as much about him. So excited to, when that all comes out with the three, I know there's many people out there who know more about that, but it's just so fascinating.
And then, Zosia, I found an image. I believe it's at Chichen Itza, and it's image of dolphins, the dolphin people.
Yeah.
Right. And then what we're learning about the dolphins and what they know, it's just fascinating.
Beautiful. This is another piece I just saw in a note too. All right. I'll just throw it out there. Why not? Right.
Let's do it.
It just threw into me. The Rig Veda mentioned by Errol discusses sexuality, which is the ultimate force of creation. Those are my notes. And that goes back to the womb of the feminine.
Wow.
Errol, it's all woven in, spinning plates, all interweaving, always connecting, always, we're always, in Corinne's word, entwining. It's always, the whole story is just entwining. I could feel now that there's no time. You know, one of my questions was, how is there a visual for it? And I said, because could I use a slinky as an example? And Q said that wasn't bad, but he then went on to describe the Sea of Joy in Eve's book. Do you know what I mean about the different timelines and examples? But when I see it as a slinky, all of these stories, or a coil or a spiral, when I see it, all of these stories, it's like I'm standing on one edge of the rim, and I'm looking across and watching, seeing it all. I don't know how to explain it, but it just comes to me visually. So I can see and kind of can see down all of it at the same time. It's all at the same time.
Wow. Isn't that
versus linear? Oh.
Well, and that's where people get hung up on this stuff, is we've been taught linear time.
Yes. Yes. And in a way, the layer cake came to me as well, because if you, again, just put your finger through the layer cake, you're touching into all of the different aspects that they cut. I don't want to go into them, but how they put us on these timelines, just keep this, like Hugh says, the story just keeps repeating itself, different characters. So now, Lauren, this was the piece. Okay, it came to me. What you shared about Jesus and feeling lost. The Marys heard and felt Jesus. They knew him. They could see him. They felt him. They knew in their heart it was him. But others were a little lost. So what did they do when Jesus wasn't there anymore? Again, if this is the story, or how it goes, but it's even if it's just a metaphor, what did they do when Jesus wasn't there anymore? They went in their directions, right? They went out and spread, not saying we won't see, you know, not to put that out there, but Q is with us. He's not leaving us. This is an ascension period that's happening. But it's interesting, that lost feeling that you described, what came to me from that, well, you referenced it at that period. How did they feel at that time? Is there anything you want to share about that? Does that ring a bell? Not to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, no. I know he's, I know that they're with us. I do. Mm. And I know that there's a reason and it's all perfectly laid out. You know, I just love connecting with him, and Mermaid. I just love that. I love that connection. And, you know, I think that's what we all do. So that's the part that, just, you know, I long for is that connection, you know, because we've discussed our connections and how we're connected. And it's like, once you know, Zosia, it's like, once you know, right?
It's interesting when you said connection, because you know that they're here. I know that. We all know that. But knowing it, it's like another level of knowing, a deeper knowing. I get that sometimes. Like, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, no, I know it better. Now I know it better. So that's, for me, what's happening here. It's just knowing him. I can still feel them. So it's strengthening it's strengthening that core knowing. That I'll just say for myself, sometimes when I hear some, you get used to always hearing them and you start to take it for granted. Okay, you're going to show up here and all this time. So, but by removing it, now it makes me buckle down and really feel into it, really feel them and communicate. It's like a silent knowing. In the silence, there's such wisdom. It's not comfortable. Sometimes it is not comfortable. It's exercising that muscle. We've even talked about that too, just exercising that muscle of knowing. So for me, the side effect or benefit, if, you know, looking on the bright side, making lemonade of not having Q with us, it's strengthening that muscle. Mm-hmm. And as you know, from working out, you know, that can be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's beautiful at the same time from a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he knows everything. He doesn't have to be here. He's here for us.
Yeah.
And for those of us who hear him and see him and want to go down this journey. But don't you know, don't you remember when he said, like, we're always connected? Of course we are.
Yeah, I remember one time I called in, I was like, you know, we finished chatting and he was like, bye bye. He said, never, never goodbye or never, you know.
Yeah.
We're always connected. We're always, you know.
And in a way, does that strengthen us? I didn't get to hear the earlier shows, so I wonder what everyone else was speaking about. Maybe it was before Q didn't show up. But yeah, if one of us feels something, others feel it because we all emanate from the same source.
Right.
And like you shared too, just in For the People in their recent posts, look what's happening. And there's a lot. Was the most recent post a massive, massive? I forgot the title. Something Changes Coming in capitals, which is like yelling. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, so that's just coincidental timing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Well,
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just trying to share my side.
I love it. I love it. And I keep going back to this post, this portion of the post, Mysteries of Egypt. And I read it over and over. The original Egyptian Ra was simply the spirit of the sun who eventually entered a physical female human incarnation animated by the spirit of the sun. Her offsprings, the 12 source energies, are all represented in Egyptian hieroglyphs with a small sun over the top of their head, indicating they are children of the sun, incarnations of the original 12 source energies. These beings arrive in similar bodies to the inhabitants of each planet they visit to bring support, insights, and to help new races and species evolve. That was from a For the People post. So I just keep going to that and knowing, you know, that we're all spread out for a reason.
Yeah.
And we all have our own little, you know, our own unique essence, energy, you know, that we're all, you know, holding the light. And, you know, you got warriors, you have, everyone has their different, a gift, if you will, and what they're doing, you know, to assist humanity. It's humbling.
Oh, so much. I feel there is even a quote, or I know there is, I'm not saying it directly, but For the People posted something like, we're not the same, but we're unique and incomparable in our own expression. We're each our piece of the puzzle. There's no hierarchy. Mm-hmm. It's everyone is a perfect expression. Can you repeat the title of that post?
Oh, people it's want from, to look at? It's the Mysteries of Egypt post.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then I go to, if you go to the Creation Lightship webpage and it has the diagram, I look at this diagram over and over and over again. And I see the different colors on the Merkaba. How does mermaid say it?
Merkaba. It's a little sexier, a little softer. It cues Merkaba.
That's right. So I look it over. I'm the kind of person, I just have to read it and read it and read it. Once I can teach it to the teddy bear, I've got it. So I'm just looking at this diagram, and I'm looking at the Merkaba and the different colors, right? And what they represent and what colors stand out to me. And I would so love to ask you, and I know there's others, you know, who have this question as well. You know, what do the colors represent? You know, and I believe you called in and asked that, Zosha.
Yeah, I called in to ask about the 12 energies, and they were divided into six. So I was asking the unique nature of, I could have asked my question better, but the unique nature, yes. And the color also would be a tremendous piece as well. You know, does each energy have its own color? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I would love to know what each color represents.
Yeah. Agreed. Colors are referenced a lot. So
I just find that fascinating. So wow.
Q, we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you, Q, mermaid.
We all still have questions. Absolutely, and mermaid. I didn't mean to not mention mermaid. And look, we're at the end of our show again. It's amazing.
I know.
Really
I know.
Amazing. So fun to be with you.
Oh, it's always
so and
fun.
All of you. And thank you. We're all just figuring it out together. And
Yeah. It's, you know, thank you to the listeners, to just all the subscribers, and we truly, truly appreciate it and love you. And if you're just tuning in, you know, we're so happy. Just happy to have you here. And, you know, we're, like Zosha said, we're figuring this out for ourselves or coming to our own knowings. And just being able to have a place to share is just, it's priceless. It's amazing.
And figure it out loud, I feel is kind of nice. In the past, I yearned for hearing how others figured things out. So I love that we're doing that, and maybe others can hear as well, just as we feel into others figuring it out and sharing their unique pieces. I did have my coffee order to place. Maybe we can do, oh, isn't that funny? There's 3 minutes left. Three. I wonder if BBS is being funny, but there's 3 minutes left. Maybe the next time we're with Q, we'll order three coffees.
That's right. I can't wait. We got to come up with some stuff for, you know, for Happy Hussy Hut.
Oh, like, that's right. We have ideas. Well, maybe we'll do a show on that. It'd be fun. Yes, we thank you, BBS. We know you're on it in every minute, in every way. So we still have PRQ coming up. We can still hold out hope that we'll hear Q. We'll see, but we thank everyone, really. Just like Lauren said, we love you all, and thank you for letting us be in your space or choosing to be with us. And Lauren, I love you and look forward to connecting you next week at our lunch hour show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, BBS. Always a joy. It is nice to be in your state. Next time we'll meet.
That's right. That's right. All right.
All right, girl.
All right.
Thank you, BBS.
Thank you, BBS.
We had a blast.
You.
We love you all.